Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for everybody joining us on Facebook as well. Don't forget to comment and let us know you are watching the service, and we do appreciate you for doing that. Don't forget about choir practice at 5 this evening. We've got a good-looking bunch of choir members up here, but they can always use a few more. So don't forget about choir practice at 5. And then, of course, tonight, evening worship, part 2 of the Jesus film. So we started that last Sunday night, got about halfway through. Just around Peter's confession of Christ, and we're going to finish that up tonight. So if for some reason you did not get to watch that, or did not get to be here last Sunday night, we can't broadcast it on Facebook, but you can download that and watch it online, just searching for the Jesus film. That can be your homework assignment this afternoon. You can watch up to Peter's confession of Christ and then be ready to go tonight to be here with us at 6 and finish that up. But I appreciate the pastor for letting missions do that. But don't forget, as I reminded you last Sunday, the same rules apply for tonight. You have to pretend that you've never heard any of this before and that we're in the jungle or in China or somewhere far away. So you have to use your imagination. Don't forget, we have a Trail Life meeting coming up. Boys age 5 to 18. It's, when is that? Tomorrow night. I was reading, and I had the time, and then I had forgotten to ask what day. So tomorrow night, 6 p.m., boys, 5 to 18. And so we've really enjoyed having the Trail Life Ministry, and I want to continue to grow that. So if you know of anybody who would be interested, please invite them to come be part of that. The Fall Festival Committee will be meeting on Wednesday at 5 o'clock in the conference room. So you know who you are. Make sure you don't forget about that as we are trying to go ahead and plan for that. Hard to believe that it's already almost September. So it will be time for that before we know it, and we want to knock it out of the park and make it an even bigger event than it was last year, although that's hard to imagine. Thank you to everyone who has brought candy. You all have done a fabulous job. I see our candy container out there is overflowing. So reach around, pat yourself on the back, but don't do it too much because we still need more. So thank you for what you've brought, but don't let your foot off the gas pedal. We need a ton more. Because like I said, we really are expecting a lot of children. Grief Share is on Friday from 10 to noon. And so don't forget about that. Ask Jane Montgomery if you have any questions. And then Men's Breakfast is this upcoming Saturday at 9. Let Wayne know if you're going to be there so he can plan for food. And let's see what else I've got on here. MOPS will be beginning in September. That information has been in the newsletter about a kickoff event. So ladies involved in MOPS, please don't forget about that. And don't forget to be reading the newsletter every Friday. As I always remind you, if for some reason you are not seeing that, please let us know. And we will make sure that you receive that because there's a lot of other stuff in there that I'm not able to go over with you here on Sunday morning. All right, I think that's all I have for this week. But thank you all for being here. Thank you for your support of the church in attendance and also tithes and offerings.
You could come join me for a brief moment. This is that basket of envelopes that's been sitting in the foyer for quite some time. And if you'll notice, there are still a lot of envelopes in this basket. So my lovely assistant David here is going to give you the opportunity to pick out one of these envelopes. Now, I still have a lot of envelopes in here, but this is the one I want to point out to you. It doesn't have a number on it. So if you don't find the number you want, now listen, we've got 12, and that's the lowest number we got. So if it's below $12, then just take this little envelope here and write your amount on there, and it'll be all right. But David's going to start around with this. So if you would like one of these envelopes, just raise your hand, and Mr. David will give one to you. It was one of the early Nazarenes, Bud Robinson, who said that God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and the taters under those hills. And I'm going to add this. It's not that God doesn't have the money to do what we're trying to do. It's just that it's in some of your pockets. So, give as God would lead you to give, and I'll leave you alone, and I'm not going to pester you anymore. Oh, let me explain this to you in case you are in the dark as to what in the world's going on. This is a fundraiser for the youth to go to NYC next summer in Tampa. And so those envelopes have a number on it. Whatever that number is the dollar amount that you're pledging to give. So if you have any questions about that, or if you want to put more in there than the number that's on there, feel free to do that. Or less. I don't really care. We'll take whatever you're willing to give. So that's all I got. If If you got any questions, let me know.
Like never.
Are you glad to be in God's house this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me this morning as we pray together as you're able. Scripture says that if we don't cry out in worship to God, that the rocks will. And I don't know about you, but I don't plan on letting any rocks cry out in my stead this morning. So let's worship God together. Join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this time to enter into your presence and worship a God who is on the throne, no matter what we're going through in life, no matter the situations we face, no matter what's going on in the world around us. We can trust and know that you are in charge. You're on the throne. You're moving in ways that we can't even see, even now, behind the scenes in situations that we may not even know need your intervention. We know that you're working all things together for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. And so, God, this morning, the least we can do is return a little bit of praise to you. And so, Father, as we enter into this time of worship, I pray that you would bless it and that we would be able to leave here today knowing that we have had an encounter with you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
joy, my righteousness, and breathe. my steadfast hope, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I. Dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ. My lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Aren't you glad that Jesus lives in us? Aren't you glad that Jesus moves through us to touch a world that is around us? Praise His name. At our past board meeting,
the church board, at my recommendation, asked Brother Jack Oden if he would become our congregational care pastor. And we are glad to have Brother Jack as our congregational care pastor. That is not one of my strong points. And I believe Brother Jack's going to help us out with that. And he is officially on staff. He's been approved by the district superintendent. And we're glad he's here. Yes. And this morning, Brother Jack's going to pray for us, and then I'm going to come and preach. Amen. Bless you, Jack.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we acknowledge this day that you have given us. This is the Lord's day. Yes. And we have come into thy house. This house is called a house of prayer. And Father, we uplift the needs, O Lord, of our people to you. The needs of our homes, our family, our community, our nation, this world. Lord, let thy will be done in and through us all. Lord, your grace is sufficient in all things. Oh, how great your love is.
Yes.
And Lord, stir our hearts to do greater and better and more important things in our life is Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, help us and bless us. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look in just a few moments together at verses 22 down through verse 24. I have always liked the word oxymoron. If you're saying, well, what is that? An oxymoron is a figure of speech that has contradictory terms together. Diet ice cream. You know, adult children. Cautiously optimistic. I like that one. Here's one of my favorite ones. Military intelligence. But the top American oxymoron is a temporary tax increase. Now, having said all that, and we've talked a lot about the past few weeks about this term growing in grace. One of the things that I emphasized when we began this series of messages is that grace is free. And yet this morning, we're going to talk about this term growing in grace. And when you begin to look at it, it almost seems like those two terms are contradictory. That if it's free, then how do we do it? If this is a gift, then what are we doing trying to grow? Growth, really, when you get right down to it, is not about how much or how many. You're going to find out that it's not about how many meetings you attend at church. It's not about how many verses you may memorize. It's not about how many minutes you spent in devotion. It's not about how many Christian books that you read last year. It's not a matter of how many. And a whole lot of the time, we have this idea that growth is about how many. And it involves what I am doing and what I can accomplish and those kinds of things. We also have this idea, and it's a mistaken idea, that if we call ourselves a Christian, then we're just automatically going to grow. And that's not the way it is. You see, it doesn't work that way. Let me give you an example. If I decided suddenly that I wanted to learn how to bowl, now, I can go down here to the bowling alley, and I can sit and watch people bowl all day long. I can watch everybody else bowl. I can cheer them on. I can do all those kinds of things. And after a while, I may decide to leave. And because I feel so good about the fact that I have been there and I have watched someone bowl, I may go to Arby's and get me a roast beef sandwich. You know, I might feel real good about the fact that I went and watched somebody bowl. But can I tell you something? Just the fact that I went and watched somebody bowl does not mean that my bowling ability improved one little bit. You can come to church. You can watch. You can be a part of all the things that go on in here. But until really you begin to get involved in what is happening in the church, you are not growing. You are just here watching. Now, I'm glad that you come and watch. Okay? But I want you to understand that it's not a matter of how many times that we watch. It's a matter of how much we get involved in the whole process. Growth is doing. Growth is not about observation. Growth is about involvement. It's looking at what God is doing and examining how much closer I am to God than I was this time last year. Maybe even than I was even this time last week. You see, is my character, because of what I am doing, is my character changing to become more and more like Jesus? Now, we've talked all this time as we've been going through this about the fact that grace is free, and that is so true. Aren't we thankful that God's amazing grace is greater than our sin? Aren't we thankful that God's amazing grace can move into our lives and change us into something that we were not before? I said this a few weeks ago. I'm going to come back to it. You see, Christ did not die on the cross to leave us as we were. He died on the cross to make us into something better. And it's so good to see what God is doing in the hearts and the lives of some people. I mean, I was talking to somebody this week, and actually we were talking about Buc-ee's. And they said to me, boy, the area around Crossville has grown. And then they said, it's not the same as it was 5 years ago. Well, it's not the same as it was 5 years ago. Things come and go. And, you know, I mean, we're about to have Chick-fil-A. I mean, that's almost, I mean, you know, we're almost to the point that we may have an O'Charley's move to town. And, you know, it's just one. I'm just kidding. But then they added this. You know, sometimes I don't like all the changes. Well, there's change that is happening around us all the time. Our church has grown. We've seen a lot of new people come our way over the past 2.5 years. And that is so good. But there is a difference, folks. Please get this. There is a difference between church growth and personal growth. There's a difference between outside change and inside change. And God just doesn't want to leave us like we are. God has a purpose in our lives. He wants us to grow in grace. And today we're going to talk about that fact. We're going to find out that just because you say you're a Christian, it doesn't guarantee growth. There is a process, and I know that word scares us in the Wesleyan Arminian tradition, but please understand, we do believe in salvation, that there is a process by which we come to that. To when we come to a crisis experience in our lives and we are saved. But we also believe that after that, there is a process that continues until we come to another crisis experience in our lives in which we are sanctified. And after that, a process continues. We are here that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. So this morning, we're really going to look at this process of what growing in grace is all about. It's simple, but I'm going to tell you something. It is powerful when we begin to look at what God really wants to do in our hearts and lives. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which in itself is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new. But to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, this first step that you and I take, if we are going to be growing in grace, is we have to put off the old. We have to put off the old. That's what he says there in verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We have to put off the old. The old is what we used to be. Let me explain something to you about repentance. Repentance really is going in one direction and then all of a sudden having an experience with Jesus, turning completely around and going in a new direction. I'll never forget how one of my professors in college did this, and at first it kind of shocked me that he would say it, but he said, basically, this is what you and I are doing when we have this kind of experience. When we put off the old, we are basically walking in one direction saying, I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. We have an experience with Jesus, and suddenly we turn around and we are going to heaven. It is that dramatic. Or it should be. Or it should be. You see, you and I are to take off the old. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. What is he saying? The old self is gone. It's taken care of. That old part has been put to death when we accept Christ as our Savior. But I want to show you something. We cannot continue in our old way of living. This idea that we can continue to go down the same path that we were going after we accept Jesus. No, 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 no. We have to change directions. We have to go in a different direction. I mean, We have to begin to think like and act like and do like and be like Jesus. We don't just continue down the old path. We turn around. That's really what repentance is all about. It is a turning around and going in a different direction. Well, there are a whole lot of people that they try to turn around on their own simply by doing what is good. We're not saved by doing what is good. We don't grow simply by doing what is good. Good intentions never have and never will work. Jesus, it's interesting that he talks about in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, about new wineskins and new wine. And he talks about the fact that you take the new wine and you put it in new wineskins. Well, I've always wondered what that was all about. I came to find out that what Jesus was really talking about is that they would take the wine, the new wine that they were beginning to try to ferment, they would put it in new wineskins. And as that wine began to ferment, it would expand. And because these were new wineskins, they could expand. They could become what they needed to be. And then the wine was poured out of them and was used. But if you take new wine and put in old wineskins, that old wineskin is hard. It will not expand. And what's going to happen? Everything is going to be lost, both the wine and the old wineskins. You and I, when we accept Christ, we become new. Things change. Things become different. We're no longer what we were. Jesus has come into our life and we're going in a completely different direction. Or we should be going in a completely different direction than we were going in. Folks, I really want to say this and I really want to be kind about it. But if there has not been a dramatic change in your life, you may need to rethink this. God wants to do something new. He comes in order that all things may be made new. And so you and I, if we're going to grow in grace, the first thing that we have to do is we have to take off all the old self and put it away. It's not any good anymore. It was corrupted by deceitful desires, Paul says. But now, new things have come. We don't grow by just trying to do good. We don't grow just by keeping somebody's rules. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 tells us your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules. And the Hebrew writer there is talking about all the rules and regulations in relation to eating. But he says it comes about because of God's grace. Rules control people. And they are there for guidance. The commandments that God gave us, they were given for us to be able to live by those things. But Jesus came. We've been talking about that on Sunday nights. Jesus came and he blew their minds away. They had this idea that Jesus was going to come in and everything was going to be great and wonderful and the kingdom would be restored to Israel. And Jesus said, no, I didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. And boy, did he ever more fulfill it. He moved it from just actions that were being done to the attitude of the heart. And folks, I want to tell you, if there's ever been an expansion of the Ten Commandments, that was an expansion. Because you might keep from killing somebody. And you might think you did real good not killing them. Because they deserved killing. You do know that is a valid defense in Tennessee. They deserve killing. No, it's not. Don't try that. I'm not a lawyer, nor do I represent the law. But Jesus moved from, well, you just didn't kill them. But he said, you still have hatred in your heart, which is just as bad. It was an expansion of all of it. And let me tell you what keeping the rules is. Keeping the rules is religion. Keeping the rules is following after all these, and if I check this box, and if I check this box, and if I check this box, then I am okay. No, no, no. That's not how it works. Religion never has done anything for anybody but make them miserable. But relationship, relationship with Jesus, brings joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the Apostle Paul says. You see, we don't grow by keeping somebody's rules. We grow by living according to his principles. That's how we really grow. A lot of people say, well, if I can just feel guilty enough, maybe someday. No, no, no. Please understand, Jesus came to free us from the guilt. Jesus came in order that we might have life to the fullest extent. And so when you and I come to Christ, what we do is we take off the old way of living. We stop doing the things that we know were wrong. We go in a different direction because we have taken off the new. Well, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to put on the new. That's what he says there in verse 24, put on the new self. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. And once again, he emphasizes the fact that the old things have gone and the new things have come. This is the promise that we have for those who have put their trust in Jesus. It's the promise that we have for those who have said, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I've done the things that I've done. I want you to be a part of my life. I want to live according to your principles. I want to do what you have called me to do. And if by faith we do that, everything changes. Everything changes. It's an incredible promise when you look at it. You see, when we look at that, we don't have to achieve this new life. This is new life that God creates in us. We just have to put it on. I didn't appreciate it way back then. Now, I'm just going to be honest about it. And if Mom's watching this morning, she's going to know. But I didn't appreciate it way back then, but my mom was quite the seamstress. She really was. You give her a sewing machine and she could just about do anything. It was amazing to me. And she made my sister's clothes. She made my clothes. I decided I wanted a leisure suit. Thank you, Gail. I appreciate you laughing at that. You and me may be the only two in here who know what that is, you know. I wish I had it. It went in a yard sale years ago. But Mom, instead, she took me down to my aunt owned a cloth shop. And so while we were in Iuka, Mississippi one time, I picked out this material. And I'm just going to tell you folks, it was wonderful material. And Mom found a pattern to make a leisure suit. Well, I decided at that point in time that I could wear black slacks with this coat that she was making, because this coat had red and green and blue and black specks all over it. And so Mom made me this coat. I'm talking Joseph in his coat of many colors didn't have anything on me. You know. And I remember the first Sunday I wore that to church. I was quite the dude that morning, I'm going to tell you. I put that new coat on. Nobody else had a new coat like my new coat. It was something to behold. I just wish I had it now so that you would believe what I'm telling you. But that's what we do. We take off the old. We put on the new. We put on the new. We start talking a different way than we used to. We start talking in a new way. We stop acting the way we used to. We start acting in a new way. The decisions that we used to make that were wrong because of God's Spirit that is at work in our hearts and our lives, we put on the new and we begin to do differently. It involves, folks, please, I know I've said this multiple times already this morning, it involves beginning to look like Jesus to the world that is around us. Because we have put on the new. And this is a process. Salvation is instantaneous. But maturity is a process. It's a process. There are ups and downs. There are ins and outs. There are times that we have to come back to Christ and we have to say, please forgive me because my attitude were wrong. We have to come back to Christ. Please forgive me because my actions were wrong. We have to come back to Christ. And when we do, the Bible tells us that He will forgive us our sins. But we take off the old, we put on the new, but then there's this last thing. We allow our minds to be renewed. Verse 23, Paul says that we're to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This step involves God doing something in us. It is the empowerment that we need to take off the old, put on the new. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, and I urge you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be renewed. But be renewed. That you might be able to prove what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Let me read that from the New Living Translation. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, this is where the power comes in. God wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to renew our hearts. He wants to renew our minds. He wants to change the way that we look at everything. And the more that we have of God's Spirit in us, the more we're going to see the people around us in a different way. The more that we have God's Spirit in us, the more we're going to see that people are lost and undone and without Jesus. And that He wants us to do our part in winning them to Him. That's what Paul is saying here, that God wants to move into every area of our lives. He wants to go into every part of our lives. I got tickled at Pastor Tyler a few weeks ago. He talked about that if we have if we invite somebody to their house and we tell them, make yourself at home, that does not mean that they go to the bedroom and begin to go through the drawers. That means that they have access to the refrigerator and to the bathroom. And can I tell you, he said it, and it's really true. Most of the time, that's how we treat God. We say, God, you come in and make yourself at home, but here are the places that you can go. But when God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, comes in and does a work in us and renews our hearts and our minds, we are saying, God, you have access to everything. You can look at everything. You can know everything. And please understand, He already knows it anyway. He does. We're not hiding anything from God. If we say that we believe what we say we believe about Him, that He knows everything, then He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. That's the way it is. You see, and when God comes and He renews our mind, one of the first things that He's going to do is to renew our attitudes. Now, I'm just going to be as honest with you as I can be this morning. There has been a part of this week that my attitude has really been bad. It stunk. Stunk, right? I guess. I don't know. And God has had to do some work in me and my attitudes this week as I was going to preach this message. Some of you might have come to this place this morning with an attitude that was rotten. God wants to renew your mind. God wants to do something. He wants to transform every area of our lives, our minds, our hearts, our speech, our motives, our attitudes, every part of us. He wants us to see ourselves as He sees us. And as we begin to see ourselves as He sees us, He can work in us to do things in us He could not otherwise do. I have a friend who is a jeweler. And he makes some of those beautiful things that I have ever seen. It is amazing to me what Kerry can do with some instruments. And I don't even know how he does it, but he does it. And he does beautiful stuff. I was watching one night a thing about how they do diamonds. Incidentally, they just found a really, really big diamond. I mean, it was about 300 carats, I think. Big thing. And they were talking about how that they will take and they will shape and they will make and they will do things to that diamond in order to create it into something that is magnificent to behold. One of the things that they do when they start with that diamond is they take and they separate that diamond. And then they will take that diamond and they will begin to put it on a grinding wheel. And it will grind. And it will grind. And it will grind. Until after a while, the person who knows what they are doing will begin to shape that diamond so that the facets in that diamond will begin to reflect light like you can't even believe. I love to go to jewelry stores and look at the diamonds in the little thing. Especially with all those lights above, they just shine and sparkle and dance. You get them out and they don't look so good, but they look real well. At least the ones that I can afford, they don't look so good, you know. Folks, please understand, accepting Christ does not necessarily mean that all the grinding is going to go away. It does not necessarily mean that the separations will not come. But it does mean that in the master designer, He can begin to move and smooth and do what needs to be done in your life and in my life so that His light is reflected in all kinds of ways. And the only way that happens is when you and I submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Shall we use a Nazarene term in this? We're talking about sanctification. We're talking about when the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And He begins to move in us and He begins to grind on us, so to speak. And renews our minds and He renews our hearts. He renews our mouths. He renews everything about us. As we are totally and completely dependent upon Him. And He transforms us into the image of Christ in a world that really doesn't see Christ that often. They use His name in vain, but they have no idea what He represents. Unless you and I allow God to do the grinding on us and the shaping on us and in us that will be able to reflect the image of Christ and the light of Christ to a world that is very, very dark. Paul said to the Galatian Christians who had started on this journey and somehow or another had gotten sidetracked. He said, you began your life in Christ by the Spirit. Now you're trying to make it on your own power. He said, it's foolishness. And sometimes that's what happens with us. We begin this journey and then we try to take it all over. But the one who really needs to take it all over is Jesus. As we take off the old, as we put on the new, and as He renews our minds and our hearts. That's what it's all about. That is really how growing in grace happens. Conclusion. Well, I've said it all morning, and I've hinted at it all morning, but let me just say it specifically. You and I are supposed to grow in grace. This is not an option. It's not an option. We are supposed to grow in grace. If you plant seeds and they don't grow, something is wrong. If you have a child and that child doesn't grow, something is wrong. If you and I as Christians do not begin to grow and things begin to change, then something is wrong. We are to grow in grace. There are two unforgettable promises. I gave one to the kids this morning upstairs. There are two unforgettable promises that you find in the book of Philippians about how all of this happens. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion or carry it on to completion. God wants you to grow in grace. He wants to bring that to completion in your life. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for God is at work with you, helping you want to obey Him and then helping you to do what He wants. God just doesn't want to set you out there and say, okay, you're on your own. It's God who comes along beside us and helps us through this whole process of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we do it? We put off the old, we put on the new, and we renew our mind. All of those things happen by His grace. I've said it over and over and over and over as we've been going through this series of messages at the end of every service. And I want you to say it with me because it's still true this morning. Grace changes everything. Grace changes everything. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that Your Word has been given to us so that we can put off the old things of our life. We can take on the new things of our life, of Your life, and we can allow You through the power of Your Spirit to renew our minds, to renew our hearts, to enable us to shine forth the image of Christ in a world that is so very, very dark. We're going to sing in just a moment, Lord, and I pray that if there are those here this morning that maybe they've never accepted Christ as their Savior, may today be the day that they can come forward and they can accept Christ as their Savior. Or maybe there are those who really need Your help in putting on the new and beginning to work through issues. Lord, maybe they need to come and bow here. then there might be those that need that sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in their lives whereby their minds are renewed. I pray, Father, this morning that You'd help us. Help us, Lord, that whatever we need You to do in us and through us and for us, that today, in this time, that we might find You real to our hearts and to our lives, that You would move in ways that we can't even begin to believe, to transform us into something that we couldn't even imagined that we could be. But by Your grace that changes everything, we can be different. I thank You, Lord, for all You do. May You bless. May You move. Help us, O Lord, to come to You. In Jesus' name we pray. This morning, as we sing, and it's a different song, Wayne, so we can take that one off. This morning as we sing, if the Lord spoke to your heart about the message today, maybe you can come and bow here, and if you can't find the courage to do that, I want you to do something else for us before you leave here today. If you can't find the courage to bow here, and I don't mean that in a bad way, okay? So I'm not putting anybody down. But I want you to find somebody that you know knows what I've talked about this morning. And talk to that person. Let them pray with you. But if you want to come and bow here, maybe you need to make a public profession of Jesus as your Savior. I don't know what you need to do this morning, but I'm so glad to tell you that whatever you need today, God can do it. Amen? Let's stand together. Let's sing. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning. Thank You for this one who has come. May You bless us and may You help us. May we leave this place this morning to determine to take off the old, put on the new, and have our minds restored and renewed. And we're going to give You glory for what You're going to accomplish. And now, Lord, I pray that as we dismiss this congregation to pray with this one who has come, may we go in peace. May we go out to live out Your grace in this world in which we live. And we thank You and we praise You for what You're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Please leave reverently this morning as we pray with these who have come today. May God bless you. Glad you were here this morning.